Kat.
And I'm Kaylin.
And this is
No Baddies Left Behind.
Period. So you know before, I don't know why I'm talking so seductively. Well, I was going to say, I remember my mom would always tell me, like, why is your voice so seductive? All of you guys always tell me that. I'm just like, listen, when you're on the mic, I don't know. It's just, hello. She was like, you sound like those caller ladies. But anyway, happy March. Mm-hmm. We're starting March. Starting March, and this is the first episode that's going to go up in March. And so, yes, Queen, let's do a little Feb recap.
February was good. We had our Galentine's.
Yeah.
I feel like we spent a lot of time together, which is rare because everyone's schedules like never line up.
No.
And so I feel like this month it all kind of worked out to where we were all off around the same times. So I feel like we all saw each other a lot this month.
Yeah, like back in the day when we first graduated from our LVN program, we would see each other all the time because we were all waiting for like the test taking process to go through, and we would see each other. Unemployed galleys. Well, you were working, but we would see each other all the time, every day. And then also when we were going to school together, that was a vibe. Mm-hmm. We would like be on campus together all the time.
Yeah. Even when we graduated and we were still seeing each other.
I know.
Every day.
We were seeing each other a lot, I think.
Yeah.
A lot. Mm-hmm. But my February was okay. It was all right. I will say it was a little, I think everyone can say they have stressful moments in their life. And it was a really stressful month for me, I think, but like more anxiety. I feel like my anxiety was not so great this month, but I've been able to manage it really well, which makes me feel better, but it doesn't feel good that there's like stressful situations and like anxious, anxiety filled situations. But other than that, it was really fun. Galentine's was the highlight of the month for me. So much fun. We had a little get together at my house. We had like a candlelit dinner in the middle of the week, and it was just good vibes. We were taking pictures, and I hate taking pictures of myself, but we're good taking cute pictures. Shout out to Miss Carla Queen. Be with the pictures. She serves with the pictures. But yeah, nonetheless, it was a good month with the girls. And like you said, I got to see you guys a lot this month, and it made me happy. So yes, which goes a little bit into the pit and the peak, I guess. Mm-hmm. But if you can choose a few peaks, what are some peaks? Like specific, maybe we can try to be more specific with the peaks.
Our beach day. After Galentine's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where we all went to the beach and took pictures, yep. And then we went to Kane's after. That was a big peak.
Did you end up getting those angel little baby things?
Oh, yes. I got my sunny angel.
Sunny angels. You got them? They had it at that store?
Yeah. Not the one that I wanted, but they had a bunch there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And pets? Mm. What are some of your pets?
Pets? My job. Oh, I hate my job. My job sucks.
Your face. Wait, which one? Miss Girl's employed at like three places.
The big one. The one that everybody knows. They're just frustrating.
Hours are always difficult.
Yeah.
It's your only pits?
That's my only pit.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Because let me tell you, sit down, get some popcorn, and let me tell you some of my pits. Well, my job too. I'm obviously not going to get into that. But just socially, it's a really different setting for me to grow used to. I'm used to more of the, well, for the 2 seconds that I worked in a bedside setting. But that's what I've been really just used to. But it's my first time applying our license that we both have into the office setting. So it's been a little bit difficult for the transition of like a 9-to-5, but nonetheless, I am employed and that's all that matters. And another pit, I had a really bad anxiety episode where I just dissociated. And that was one of the, this month was another time where it just wasn't the best. Like, I just didn't know. I was in a rut. Everything was super hazy and just in a blur. And I couldn't tell what time wasn't a thing for me. And I just couldn't really, I felt so disconnected from my body and my mind more so. But again, I pulled out of it. And yeah, but those are the only two things that I would say are my pits, which, good, thankfully, just two pits for the month this time around. Thankfully,
hopefully next month there's none.
I know. I, you know what, we're entering our lucky girl era. Okay, it's lucky girl era for the month of March, bitch. Oh, I cannot with my stuttering ass. The month of March is the lucky girl era. And you're right. That's what I'm going to enter. That's what I'm manifesting this month, dude. I cannot. But anyway, I also want to talk about what are some things like that you do to keep a positive mindset. Since we're starting the new month and we're, you know, kind of doing this reset for the month of March, what are some positive things that we can do starting for the month?
I think a big one that everyone always kind of recommends is affirmations. And that was something that I did a lot in therapy too, was, you know, work on affirmations. But let me tell you, it's kind of just not my vibe.
Like, wait, can you explain, like, affirmations? I, like, know that's, like, when you tell yourself things, but, like, what exactly are some examples? Like, I genuinely don't, like, really, I'm beautiful, I'm smart, I am loving, I'm deserving.
Exactly that. Oh. Exactly that.
Like, yeah. Saying it to yourself in the mirror, or, like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Then in therapy, that was something that I was supposed to be working on, and I did it twice, and I was like, oh, I feel stupid staring at myself in the mirror and being like, I love you, looking dead at in my eyes of myself and just like, I love you, you're so beautiful, you're so smart, you know what I mean? And so then I went back to my therapist and she was like, how's it been going? And I was like, honestly, I haven't been doing them because, you know, I feel weird and I feel dumb doing them and saying mm-hmm. those things to myself, especially out loud, like where everyone can hear you. I just feel like awkward. Mm-hmm. And this was during a time where my skin, I struggle with acne pretty badly. And so this is when my skin was like really bad. And I was like, I just can't look at myself and say those things and mean it mm-hmm. on top of the fact that I already feel stupid. Just saying,
yeah.
Even if my skin was fine. Mm-hmm. And she, the way that she put it was like, you know, if your friends or if your family had really bad acne, would that make you love them any less? And I was like, no. And she was like, you know, why does it make you love yourself less? If your family was struggling with that, would you stop telling them that you loved them? If your friends were struggling with that, would you stop telling your friends that you loved them? And I was like, no. And so she was like, you know, you can't just not say things to yourself because in that moment you don't feel good about yourself. That's the whole point mm-hmm. of affirmations, is to change the way that you view yourself and the way that you, you know, speak to yourself, because that has a really big influence on your mood and your mindset and your outlook on things, you know? And so she was like, try the affirmations again. And so I was like, okay. I went to the bathroom, looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you know, I didn't really grow up very like in like a big, like, I love you family, you know, like mm-hmm. everything was kind of like, you're fine, brush it off, you know. Mm-hmm. So then,
like, self-love.
So I went back after this therapy session, I went back and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, suck it up, because you're that bitch, and start acting like
yes.
it.
Yes.
And so that's an affirmation that I like kept going with, and I think that really changed. It does work. I think it did change like my mindset. It did change the way that I view things now and the way that I view other people now. And I think it's also helped me a lot to be more carefree and not worry so much about everybody else's opinions on the things that I do or the things that I say, because I'm content with myself. I'm happy with myself, you know, and so mm-hmm. it helped me kind of get rid of that fear of judgment. So I think, you know, affirmations are different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is you're struggling with, if it's more emotional, you know, you could say things like, I am in control today, or, you know, my anger will not get the best of me today, or, you know, today is going to be a good day. You know what I mean? Or if it's more like physical, you know, you just say, I love my body, even if mm-hmm. it's not true. Eventually it will be true, you know, mm-hmm. but in that moment you just be like, I love my body. I love my smile. I love my eyes. I love, mm-hmm. you know, my legs, my feet. I don't know.
Yes.
You know, but affirmations can really be anything. It's just, it's whatever fits you. You just have to kind of figure that out for yourself. And it stems more from what your insecurities are. What's going to make you feel more confident is hearing mm-hmm. that you're that girl. Is that going to make you more confident? Is hearing like nobody cares what it is that you're doing, is that going to make you more confident? You know what I mean? So it's very customizable.
Subjective. Yeah. Different for everybody. And it's hard because I feel like with affirmations, when I tried affirmations for the first time, it's a little unnatural. I'm not going to lie. Looking at yourself in the mirror. If anything, I do it more when I'm driving or when I just wake up, or if I feel anxious, I'll time out and breathe and just say, I love my life. I'm grateful for my life. I am alive. I am breathing. I woke up today. And I have this planner. It's a daily planner from, I forgot what it's called, but Danielle Carolyn, she collabed, you know, Danielle, she collabed with a planner. I don't want to say like, I wish I knew the proper name of the company, but I think it's like daily, some daily, but it's a daily planner. Okay. Nonetheless. And there was a part for gratitude. And I think things that you're grateful for and also affirmations, they kind of do go a little hand in hand. Not exactly, obviously, but I feel like when you are grateful and you show gratitude for something, it makes you, you know, I am loving, I am deserving, and I loved doing that. And sometimes when you feel silly, you got time out, look at yourself in the mirror, I am beautiful, you know, it's a, but you know, when you do yourself up and you're like, I am beautiful, I am that bitch, I am that girl, I feel like it's a little bit more fitting, but it does work nonetheless. Even though sometimes, and even when people hear it on TikTok, people don't realize that. Those are affirmations when you say, what's that really popular one? What is, I forgot what it is. It's like, what is for me will come to me or something like that. Those I feel like are some affirmations, and we say them a lot more than we do every day. And it really does help push you through your day, I think. But like mm-hmm. I said, when it is forced, then that's when it feels a little natural. But nonetheless, I really think that they do work. I do. You know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There have been some times when they did not work. Like before we go out. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you'll get all dressed up and then you look yourself in the mirror and you're like, I am beautiful. And then you're just like.
Be for real.
Yeah. Yeah. Like be for real. I'm not feeling myself right now. You know, and mm-hmm. I think that's where the misconception is. It's like, oh, affirmation, that's when you believe it because you're telling yourself. But if you're not allowing yourself to believe it or thinking that you are deserving of something, you're never going to feel it. You're never going to actually feel it.
I think you do. You definitely have to be open to it or it really won't work.
No.
They do say that in the beginning, you know, it's hard. It's hard to feel things that you're saying that you don't actually mean. So in the beginning, they always say, you know, you're faking it until you make it. And it is hard. But if you're not open to it, if you're not open to the idea of it working or of it having more of a positive impact in the way that you think, then it won't work. And you'll just be stuck in the same place. You have to be willing to put that work in to make a change.
And you know what? It is hard because you're telling yourself these things because initially you had a hard time believing it, like you mentioned. So obviously you're going to think it's not going to work because you subconsciously think that you are not deserving of loving your own self. You are undeserving of love. So obviously you're not going to believe it if that's how you've been thinking this whole entire time. But the question of how it started to work, that's tricky, you know? But you know what's funny though, Queen? I had a really long conversation with my friend Naomi. And we're those friends where we meet up every couple of months and we catch up and then we don't meet for another like 4 or 5 months. But really, what helped me, if anyone is struggling with affirmations or just believing in a better life and there is a light at the end of the tunnel, is surrendering. Like, ooh, I've had it. I have had it. I'm just going to throw the towel in, you know. But I feel like when you just surrender and you actually give yourself that chance to be vulnerable and to come to terms with the fact that, you know what, I don't feel myself. I do feel ugly. I don't feel valuable. Once you do tell yourself that and you come to terms with it, that's when the affirmations start happening because you're truthful with yourself. Because I feel like you are not being truthful to yourself when you think that you're undeserving of love or valuing yourself. But once you let go, all of a sudden it's a little bit easier to start believing in yourself, mm-hmm. You know, because that journey to loving yourself and having that kind of confidence is a long one, but it's not unattainable. It's really not. You know?
Mm-hmm. And you it's know? Hard.
It is. Won't be easy. No. But I did also have a little moment where I sat. And I feel like if you don't want to do affirmations, gratitude. Write down things that you are grateful for. That's been really, really helpful for me when I have anxiety attacks is things that I'm grateful for. And then you'll start realizing, you know what? I have been getting better. Because routine is something I was not into. I'd wake up, cross my fingers for how the day was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to do, you know. But I feel like routine and order is something that I've really valued just a couple of months ago. Especially having kids. I implement that for my kids for obvious reasons. But then when I started falling into it, I was like, oh, I like this feeling. I like it. You know, like, you know what you're doing at all hours of the day. Is it redundant? Yes. For a grown ass adult? Yes. You know, it can kind of like, am I living in like a simulation because it's like the same shit every day, but it feels good, you know, routine. Mm-hmm. And it brings you back. It kind of grounds you and pulls you back into your center if you're really going through it. But anyways, with the start of March, routine and order, let's go back to the basics. Back to the basics. Because routine, do you like routine?
I do.
Okay.
I think I'm more of a routine-based person. I have fallen out of my routine recently.
With what?
I haven't been working. But, you know, when I did have my routine, I feel like if you're not a routine person, sticking to the basics is a great way to start getting into a routine. And then once you have your routine, you can start building upon that. And so previously, you know, my routine was I would wake up at 5 a.m. I'd go to the gym. Then I'd come home, shower, get ready, go to work, do my work, come home, do my stuff for class if I was, you know, in school at that time or not. And then that was my routine. That was how I made it through my day. I had everything done by a certain time. And I was a lot more productive and I felt a lot better. And people would be like, oh my gosh, like you wake up at 5 a.m. or you're like up before 5 a.m. Like, how do you do it? And it's like when you work a normal 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, you have to make time in your day to do the things that you want to do. You're not going to have enough time if you're waking up, if you start at 9 and you wake up at 7:30 or 8 o'clock and then just go straight into work. By the time you're off, you're going to be tired. It's going to be dinner time. You're not going to feel like doing anything. The rest of the day is going to drag on. You have to make time to do the things that you want to do. And I feel like if you already have your base routine, adding things like that in there to make time for the things that you want to do that make you happy. Let's say you want to do like a pottery class, or if you want to go to like a workout class, or if you want to, you know, go to a dance class. It's a great thing to just kind of add in there to like switch up your routine a little bit, but it's still on that kind of routine schedule.
Mm-hmm. Damn, queen, we get up at 5 a.m. That's all I heard.
We used to do that though too. All of us together, we would do that. It was either like 11 o'clock at night or 5 a.m.
Yeah, we did for sure.
And it's also, you know, the gym gets so packed that it's
5 a.m. it really is. It's the best. It's better. Yeah. I remember I challenged myself to go to the gym every day at 5 in the morning. Because, well, really what triggered it was I used to go when I would drop off my kids to school. I would go afterwards. But really, everyone's up at 8 or 9 a.m. Everyone's already up. And one time, I had a peaceful workout, went to the drive-thru for Starbucks. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right down the street. A bitch honked me out in the fucking drive-thru. Like, bitch, if you didn't have time to get Starbucks before work, get up early. But then that's when it hit me. Like, set aside time. Don't, like, fit in and then make everyone rush just because you're late. Sorry, I digress. But it was that moment that I was like, I am getting up early to go to the gym. And when I started going to the gym every day at 5, sometimes even before then, because obviously if I was at the gym at 5, you're up before 5 o'clock. It was the same people every single day. And also it's nice because really there's just no one there. I mean, there were, honestly, I feel like 24-hour gyms, they get a lot more packed than you think. Like, they're at really crazy hours than you would have assumed. But early bird gets the worm, you know? Granted, are you taking a nap at 12:45 p.m.? Probably. But it's one of the best feelings. And also, with routine, because I feel like if anyone struggles with routine, if anyone knows me, I was the one bitch who never was into routine. I was not into order. I am still very, I can be unorganized. Okay, I'm not even going to sit here and lie. But there is a lot more routine than you think that you have. I will say so myself. Like, you have dinner. I feel like when people think routine, it's like, I'm going to be here at 6:30, dinner at 7:40, dinner or like in bed at 9:15. I feel like once you kind of gauge what time you're around, give yourself more credit. You know, like, you're not having dinner every day at 11 o'clock. Be honest with yourself. You're probably having dinner every day at around 6 to 8 is usually, I feel like, the time for dinner for a lot of people. Give yourself some credit. You're having dinner around that time. You're going to bed around the same time every night. Granted, it's not 8 p.m. every single night, but it's still around the same time. So that's where I feel like recently my big motto is just being grateful that you are doing those things, because when you're like, you know what, I am, you take more accountability and you're more proud of yourself, patting yourself on the back, realizing that you do those things at a certain time. So start off with just doing that.
The little wins.
Exactly. Like, I know some people, I feel like they use that, don't applaud a fish for swimming, but you know what?
Applaud the fish.
Yeah. Applaud the fish. You woke up.
Yeah.
You woke up. Come on. Give yourself some time. Pat yourself on the back. If you went, especially if it's the gym, you went to the gym.
Or applaud yourself for that. You got out of bed today.
Yeah, you took your first breath and you woke up. You got to work. You know what? Maybe you didn't get to work on time, but you got your ass to work. Mm-hmm. Be grateful for that, you know? So I feel like that's what builds order. That's what builds routine, is when you start appreciating when you are showing up. Because when you're not grateful, or you're not showing gratitude for the moments that you are showing up for yourself, how are you going to enjoy doing anything? You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it's also important too to note that I do think that having a routine is important. I do mm-hmm. think that it helps build really healthy habits. But I think don't hold yourself to that standard all of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's okay if one day you don't wake up at 5, you wake up at 8. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's okay that
don't beat yourself up
in a couple of days, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't feel like you're throwing off your whole routine because on this day your body feels like it needs a break. You yeah. know what I mean? So I feel like routines are really important and they're really great and they do a lot of really great things, but mm-hmm. don't be so hard on yourself if every now and then it's hard to uphold.
Mm-hmm. I feel that one. Because I remember I was like, you know what? I'm going to wake up today. I'm going to do this at this time. Take my kids to that at that time. But then if I didn't mean it by the minute or by the hour, I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm horrible. I'm a terrible person. I don't have my shit together just because I didn't get there at 8 p.m. on the dot. 8 a.m. on the dot, you know? But just recognizing, I feel like I said, that you just got yourself up and you were able to go and do it, be grateful for yourself rather than harping on yourself for not doing it. Because, but you couldn't have not gone at all. You know what I mean? You could have not went to the gym at all. You could have went, you just could have not shown up to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on now.
At least you made it there.
Exactly. And I feel like slowly after a routine builds habits. And I feel like also too, boundaries. I think you create boundaries. I saw something on TikTok where it really stuck with me, that if you have boundaries for yourself and you love order and routine, if you don't follow the boundaries that you set for yourself, sorry, let me reword that. If you don't let other people overstep your boundaries, what makes you think that you shouldn't follow those rules too? You apply to those same boundaries. So if you're feeling tired one night and you need to say, I'm not going to go, like, sorry, Brandon, I'm not going out tonight. I'm going to take the night in. Tell yourself that. Don't think about going out. If you know that you're tired, I'm not going out because I'm tired. For me, you know what I mean? Don't, it's not for the other person, it's for me. Like, you're following your own boundaries when you create routine, and then you slowly start to have more self-respect and you value the time that you have with yourself and being in your own solitude and loving that. It's a domino effect. It's really a really good domino effect. Like, if you normally, like, if you want to go out on Friday night, okay, go out Friday night. But if you want to stay in, put on a little facial, watch a movie or read for yourself, go do that. You know, I feel like you're also like, if you know you don't want to go out and you go out, you are breaking that boundary for yourself. And so are you going to feel good? No, you're not going to feel good. You know, I feel like a lot of us do that. A lot of us have had those moments yeah. and it doesn't feel good. You're like, I should have just trusted myself to begin with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I will say though, after my last breakup, I was in very much so like my yes era. And mm-hmm. so there were days where even if I didn't want to go out, I would still go out because I was just saying yes to everything. And I will say that, like, those nights I did have a lot of fun.
But I mean, also, like, with what you're going, like, what you went through, it's totally fine. That's different, you know? When you're healing and you're finally giving yourself that chance to be out with your friends and, you know what I mean? You're mm-hmm. kind of setting up those pillars again for yourself and your friends. making up for lost that time.
That's true.
You know, you're making up for lost time because you were booed up. Actually, I don't even say you weren't booed up. You were cuffed up.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep your ass on lockdown. I was going to say you were in lockdown, bitch. By a person. By a fucking man. He's not a man.
Oh my gosh.
That's funny. Damn, that was funny. Also, Queen, what I do want, because we're going into spring, right? What's up with YouTube and spring cleaning? Do you watch those videos? How come it's spring cleaning? Is it just because we're entering a new, like, it's so specific, spring cleaning? Have you seen those videos on YouTube?
No.
Really?
I see, like, they just binge cleaning their videos, shit? But not specifically spring cleaning.
Yeah, I see a lot of spring cleaning videos, or like some YouTubers specifically put that in their vlogs. But I don't know what it is. Is it because it's almost halfway through the year? What about winter? What about summer?
You know? I feel like spring, like I feel like winter, like summer, you're like outside. You're outside a lot. Fall, you're like kind of outside, kind of.
You're starting to stay in. Yeah.
Winter, I feel like you're hibernating.
Yeah.
Spring, I feel like, is your reset.
Yeah, that makes so much sense now that you say it like that. Because you know what? When you're going through the holiday season, I feel like you're constantly planning. What are we doing for what holiday? Whose house are we going to? What presents are we wrapping? Who are we giving what? Who has, you know, where are we going to go with what family? But, and like you said, summer, everyone's outside and everyone's like, yeah, it's summer, no school, it's our break. Mm-hmm. And winter or in fall, with the weather going on, my ass isn't going anywhere in this rain, bitch. So spring is the reset. I like that. And the weather is honestly phenomenal. I've never been a weather gal. Like I did not give a fuck about weather, if I'm being honest with you. But my favorite is really like the March, April, because it's not hot. It's still cool. It's still gloomy. It's still a little rainy, but it's not hot. Like how unbearable it is during, honestly, June and July aren't even that hot. It's like August, September, that shit is blazing. So either you're out or you're in. Wait, what?
I said, I love that. I love those months.
Ugh. Girl, I'm sorry. That's where you and I do not align, is that heat, girl. I cannot stand the heat.
You also don't sweat, so.
Yeah, no, I don't. And that's one of the most unfortunate things. I love those girls that are just sweaty messes at the gym. Because you put in work, bitch. You put in the work. And it just looks like you're putting in work. Like, don't get me wrong, I put in the work. But it isn't. I just look red. And then I overheat, and then I almost pass out, like with our friend Arlene in a bathroom at our clinical site. That was scary shit. I thought I was going to tap out. I was seeing black spots everywhere. But anyway, let's go cleaning but for your mind.
Oh, yeah.
You got to elaborate on that one. But
for your mind. I don't know. This isn't something that I had seen anywhere, like read about. It was just, I don't know, a thought in my mind that I had. You mm-hmm. know, people are spring cleaning their houses. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you can do with your mind and with your emotions? Just like a reset, you know, mm-hmm. rather than like January, it's the start of the year. You're starting new goals or whatever. Is there such thing as like a spring reset, but for your mind, like
I think
mentally,
so.
Emotionally, rather than like just trying to keep building upon things that you started back in January?
I think so. You know what? I used to beat myself up for not sticking to my New Year's resolutions. I use that word lightly because I feel like we cement ourselves in new year, new us. And it doesn't sound cringy. And do we always get made fun of for it? Yes. But also it's a really good theme to stick to when it's January, but what about February? What about March? How are you really following up with those resolutions and what you said you were going to do for yourself? And so I feel like it's really hard to reset. You can reset your house. You can reset your bedroom, your clothes that you have, like cleansing out all those clothes. But really, how to reset your mind, I feel like recently, like I mentioned after my whole anxiety episode, bitch, I feel like I'm slowly learning how to reset my mind. And it's totally doable. And if anything, it makes you feel so much better. And it grounds you. And it brings you back to reality. And it's doable. Really. And like I said, I used to always beat myself up for not sticking to all these goals that I had for myself. And the checklist that I built for myself. But it's not what you got done. It's what really, I mean, yes, it feels good, but it's like, how was your mind through it all? And how did you get yourself through that? That's what you're doing subconsciously. So with that being said, can you pull yourself out from ruts when you are not feeling good about your checklist that you want to do that day? Yes, absolutely. Is it hard? Absolutely. It's very hard. But I think, I'm just trying to think like what are good ways to pull yourself out from that. Because I'm like, can you agree though? Like, do you think that like it is doable? Have you done it for yourself?
Yeah.
In what ways?
I don't know if it's like the most healthiest thing though. So I wouldn't.
Okay.
I compartmentalize everything. So like, you know,
that's when not things bad.
Like make me. I think compartmentalizing is a really great technique if you mm-hmm. do it in a healthy way.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think I've worked on now. I do it more so in a healthy way than I used to, because I would just lock it away and never go back to it. And then I have all this undealt with trauma and emotions that I feel years later mm-hmm. that come up years later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think now, like, if I'm in a situation where it's really difficult or like emotionally, I just have really strong emotions about it, I'll just kind of lock it away and then take a breath. And then that helps me think more logically about the situation. And then later on, you know, when I'm at home, then I'll unpack it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I also think that that is because I'm also a big overthinker. And so, again, I don't know how healthy that is.
Because okay, then queen,
I'll unpack it and then I'll just be like analyzing every situation, like every little piece of the situation.
But because you bring, and first of all, it is so hard for me to say that fucking word, compartmentalize. That was something it was really hard for me to do. And I remember being 20, like 22, 21. And I was like, how do I do that? I want to do that. They say that it's bad. I feel like it has a negative connotation to it. But really, sometimes when you get older, you have to push aside certain emotions to get through your day at work, to get through a day of school, to get through having to pay all these fucking bills where you just feel like you're drowning in your own debt. You know, like really, if you don't push aside some emotions, you're never going to get through what it is that you're trying to get through. You're not going to get through that pile of stress. If you don't put aside the anxiety and the fear of, can I do it? Can I do it? Am I going to be able to do it? Because then you're just going to be stuck in front of it just looking at it, you know? So when you learn to bitch, I could never say that. Tell me to say, if you held a gun to my head and say it 10 times fast, tap out. Tap the fuck out. Compartmentalize. That was good. I forgot where I was going because that stuttered in my mind. But if you don't set aside those emotions, you're not. What can you really do? And I feel like she always used to say, like, that's not doable for me. I can't do that for me. But really, then what are you doing? you're thinking about your emotions the whole entire time. You're letting yourself drown in those emotions and those thoughts that are essentially, what's that word, like debilitating you from being able to overcome what you have to get done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that for me was something so huge just this past 2 years, was compartmentalizing. Because sometimes, you know, like really before, when I get that anxious, it will hold me. It has a chokehold on me. But I feel like once you start getting used to, like you said, timing out and breathing and letting yourself take a second to think logically, you are pushing it aside. You just had to give yourself that moment to freak out and then push it to the side and then keep going, you know? That was good. I like that. Because that's been my favorite thing to do. I love drowning my emotions sometimes. Just like putting it to the side and just not dealing with it at all. Mm-hmm. Because, bitch, I don't got time to be sad. That is time wasted being sad. You know what I mean? Like, you're telling me I got to go make some money. I got to go spend time with my kids and friends and having a grand old lit ass time. Talk about being sad. Push that shit aside, bitch. Push that aside. Be for real with yourself. Oh, sorry. I got passionate about that right there. Because really, I feel like it's so doable. And again, give yourself more credit where credit is due. You know, if you're like, oh, I'm so sad. I can't move right now. Let's just go. You did it right there. You did it right there. You know? Don't think that you can't do it just because it's not like the book, like, definition of it. Sorry. I got passionate. But no, that's how I get through my days. That's how I get through the stressful moments of my life or the stressful thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's hard when people say that they can't. I'm always like, you can. The only thing stopping you is you saying that you can't.
Yes.
It's not impossible.
No. No. And that is one thing that I've grown really impatient with myself and sometimes some other people. It's that if you tell yourself that you can't, then what can you do? Focus on what you can do than rather than what you can't do. Then it becomes more doable. Mm-hmm. And believe yourself
while you're doing it. And then eventually you'll be able to do the thing that you didn't think you could do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, I cannot highlight, like, anybody that knows me couldn't, like, I'm going to share this because, you know what, why not? Before, when my mom first passed away, I was so bad about routine and order. And I was like, I'm so unorganized. I'm not what a mom should be. I'm not what a woman should be if I can't just get myself up out of bed. If I can't get my kids and I to a family party at 12 o'clock on the dot, you know, or get there early. I used to guilt myself. And then I started to hate myself because I would talk to myself in a way that, first of all, no one should ever speak to themselves. I would just hate me for not being able to do what I thought I was capable of doing. And then so I would guilt myself. And then I believe it. Because if I'm telling myself those things, I'm believing it. And I remember just telling my kids, you know what, let's just say we went there today. Like, for, you know, if my sister was like, did you guys end up going grocery shopping? Just say yes. Let's just say yes so they get off our back, you know. But then here I am now, fast forward. I think I shared this with you where I am not of those things anymore. I'm so strict with me and my kids and routine, because if we don't get ourselves out through the door at a certain time, I'm gonna be late to work. That's our bag, you know? So, but if that were me, like, a couple of years ago, girl, I'd be 2 hours late to work. And then I would lie about it and say that my tire blew up. But then I got all four tires on my car when I pull up to work. Oh, I would tell so many white lies just to cover up the fact that I was just being lazy, you know, but it's not being lazy. I was actually going through shit like all moms do. But Here I am today, and I really cannot believe that I could say that I love routine and order, and I have to get in to bed at a certain time. And I've even said no to Kaylin going to some certain, going out to some places because my son has a football game in the morning and my daughter's cheering at the football game and I can't go, you know? But so if you are in that place where you feel like you cannot be who you want to be and it's impossible, it is. It really, it is doable. And really, I feel like I've been able to transform myself with starting within myself and being grateful for the things that are in my life. That's how it started, you know, being grateful for, like you said, my legs can move today. I woke up and my eyes opened this morning. You have to be grateful for those little things, because if you're not, then what are you grateful for? When you got a paycheck when, you know what I mean? Like, that's not really something to be grateful for. It's not. So those are things that I'm really passionate about. I can go on forever about, you know, but yeah. And I got to stop saying that.
But stop saying what?
It. You know?
Oh, me too.
You know? But anyway, we got to talk about first, Lucky Girl era. What are some things, because I feel like I'm struggling with that low-key girl, how to kind of let ourselves start being in the lucky girl era. And what really is lucky girl era, first of all?
I don't know. Let's honestly look it up. I've only seen like some TikTok videos of it, and I think it's basically like you expect certain things to happen to you because you're lucky. Or is that just, like, pretty girl?
Stop right there, bitch. Hold on. Let me bring it up on Teen Vogue. Is Teen Vogue a viable source, or should we do Urban Dictionary?
Ooh. Sorry. Maybe both. If they okay. have the same definition, then we know Teen Vogue is accurate.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Okay, I don't know how... This is via... Urban Dictionary. A girl who transmits calm to all the people around her. Everyone feels good when that girl is near them. I don't think that's what it is. Look at this. Okay, actually, let's not see that on here. Hold on. Lucky girl syndrome is essentially manifesting that is focused on luck. Our brains are naturally weighted towards negativity. That's how we're wired. And it's been that way since the dawn of time. Our brains haven't evolved that much. So anything that challenged the negativity bias can actually be really helpful. So
basically where you just believe that you're the luckiest girl ever.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it's drawn to you, is by believing mm-hmm. in luck. That you have that luck. And I will say, I'm not that bitch.
I have believed. That was also my question too, when we were making this outline, was, is lucky girl syndrome just basically the law of attraction with a different name?
I want to say yes, but also no. Because I feel like this is just, okay, my sources are TikTok. Okay, that's for it been a lot of time. But I feel like with lucky girl syndrome, it's a little different. Well, actually, let me pause. Then I say yes, because I'm trying to think in that, is just the law of attraction. If you can believe that you are capable of luck and, you know, I don't know, Queen. What do you think? I don't know. I can't even put that shit into words.
I think they're the same. I think, you know, manifestation and the law of attraction are the same.
Yeah.
And I think the lucky girl syndrome is basically based off of more positive manifestations. I think it's just the same with a different name.
Yeah. Because I'm just trying to... How to have lucky girl syndrome. This is from Harper's Bazaar. The concept behind the craze is that if you repeatedly tell the universe how fortunate you are, you will eventually start to be fortunate to manifest that luck and be rewarded with that promotion, proposal, or pay raise, and depending on what you're wishing for, which is exactly the law of attraction, is that it's if you believe in having that luck, in that you're going to get that promotion, you're going to get that raise just because you're that lucky, because things are in your favor. The coin toss is on your call, you know? And I think that's what basically Lucky Girl Syndrome is. And I like that first one that I said, where our minds really focus so much on the negativity that we can't, or the negative things. It's like what they say, it's always easier to count the bad things that happen in our life, but it's so much harder to focus and count the good things that happen in our life. But I feel like the Lucky Girl Syndrome and the law of attraction is, if you focus on the good, good comes to you. So I think you're definitely right in that. It's the same thing. And I do not know why, but 2024, well, really the past year, people just rebrand things. Like chocolate, frappe, smoky eye. Bitch, that's a brown smoky eye. strawberry, melon.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Strawberry makeup. That's just heavy blush.
Bitch, that's just heavy blush. Literally, it's just heavy blush. You put it over your nose and you put it over the bridge of your nose. Mm-hmm. You take that rare beauty blush and rub it all over the middle part of your face. That's it, period. Which is all mm-hmm. cute, by the way. Okay, I just think mm-hmm. that people are now trying to rebrand it to make it more exciting and to try to make it something else or something new. But that's funny as fuck. It's just heavy blush.
It is fun, though. It is.
It is.
You know,
it is.
It's the things that people come up with are fun.
It becomes more exciting. It becomes more exciting. But yeah.
Coincidences. But what did you want to talk about specifically with coincidences?
Just more of like luck. Not luck, but like, it's not that you're lucky. It's not that it just so happened by accident. It was meant to happen.
Oh, we could talk about that. Okay. Coincidences. Okay. A big boundary that I have when it comes to dating and meeting people when I'm out now, I don't give my phone number out. Yes. I don't have Instagram anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't use Snapchat. So my phone number is really kind of like my only form of communication now. And I don't ever give my number out, like at the bars or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I met that one guy and he wanted my number so bad. And I was like, no, I need to see you out and about 3 times. And by the 3rd time, I'll know something's meant to happen there. Whether we're meant to be friends, whether we're meant to date or whatever, I'll know by that 3rd time that I see you. And I feel like that is like, that, like, if I see you 3 times just out and about and it's not planned, it was meant to be. It was meant to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was so ridiculous. So I said, I don't care. I believe it wholeheartedly.
There we go. That's kind of like the law of attraction, is if that's what you believe, it's how it's going to happen. If it's organic like that, that's how you're going to find the one. Mm-hmm. If it's meant to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, I also saw someone on TikTok. Sorry for so many TikTok references, but granted, they are not together anymore, so I don't know how viable this is. But this one girl, she was a part of the Bad Wiggies. I don't know if you watched them, but they're basically like a trio group of friends where they would dance in parking lots or just do crazy dancing videos, and all of them would wear like a purple, a blue, and a pink wig. But this one of the girls, it's her name is Julie, she said that when she met her boyfriend, they were at a club and she was like, this man is so fine. They didn't have each other on social media. She just saw him out and about at the club, and then she didn't make a move on him. I think that's what she said, but they basically didn't talk. And I think she saw him like with a different girl. So she was like, ah, whatever. And then the night was over, and so they're out in the street, and she's trying to find her Uber. And I guess, like, he was talking to them, and because, like, a guy was acting weird towards them, and he stood up for them and was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're being weird. And then he walked them to their Uber, and then that was that. She didn't exchange her number. She didn't do anything in that nature to make it more advanced. And so she told herself, because I think really she kind of got more upset with herself, like, ah, how come I didn't? He was so cute. Like, he was so fine. How come I didn't make a move or allow him, you know? But she said, if it's meant to be, we will meet again and we will be a thing again. And then randomly out of nowhere, he just followed her on Instagram. And then they dated for like 2 years, I think.
He did some lurking.
I know, but also they're two pretty well-known people on TikTok. Mm. So I don't think it's that much of a far stretch for them to not have known about each other, or at least him for her. But I was like, you know, that's a really good way to think about it. And I feel like sometimes when people kind of get into that desperation state of being with somebody or finding someone or thinking someone is cute, don't let it happen. If you have to make it happen, don't let it happen. Let it happen on its own, and then it's just way better. And honestly, Queen, now that you say, like, wholeheartedly, that's what I believe. It's like your number rule. I really think now I'm going to believe that whoever is meant for me, I'm not looking anymore. I've surrendered, honestly. I've surrendered. And whoever my man is, he is out there and he will find me. And it will happen. It's going to happen. Not now, I don't think, but it will happen. I'm not going to have to go out and do this, you know, really stressful move just for there to be a man in my life. It's just going to happen.
So, yeah. It'll happen when you're ready for it. And I feel like you won't even realize that you're ready for it.
I feel like also too, when people are just so in their element, that's when things fall into place. Because really, if you're looking for a boyfriend, chances are you're not in the best romantic state if you're so damn bad for a boyfriend, you know? It's when you're just having the best time of your life, you're out with your girls, you're just being the best you, that's when this guy's like, oh, I like her. I like her. She's just so herself, and I want that. So I'm like, how could you really be yourself if you're trying to keep an eye out for the men out here, you know? But yeah, that's what I believe. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I believe my theory.
I don't know if I'm just getting delirious because I'm a little tired, or I'm just like, oh my fucking God, if this shit pauses again.
And I think that's about it. wrapping up episode one for our Lucky Girl Era season, mm-hmm. our March season. St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we have some exciting content that we're going to be putting up for
we do.
March. So be on the lookout on our Instagram. Podcast episodes go up on Mondays on both Spotify and YouTube if you ever want to watch the video version. Also, if you are watching the video version, I killed a bug on my blinds here, on my curtains, my white curtains. I killed a bug and I can't figure out how to clean it off now, so it's just up there forever. But I'm just a girl, you know? I will kill bugs on the wall and leave the bug on the wall. I won't even clean it up. But I'm just a girl, so.
You're just a
girl. But anyways. yeah, that's all for episode one. Thank you for listening.
And also our Instagram name, if you're, you know, on YouTube just randomly finding us, it's Nobody's Left Behind, right?
Yes. And it's linked in our bio on YouTube.
If you're watching, we're working on getting our podcast on Apple or like Apple Podcasts. Just it's a little tricky to figure out, but we're getting there. But yes, like you said, it's a wrap on this episode, first episode of March. But yes, thank you for listening. If you actually, you know, went the full way through, we're signing off. And we'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Yes. Bye.